come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Lena Hurd. We're up here in beautiful Cave Junction, Oregon, and Lena and I are going to talk a little bit about acorns today. Lena, could you share a little bit about your cultural background?
I'm Yurok. I'm also a basket weaver, traditional weaver. So I make the baskets as well as cook in them, and acorns is such a good thing. I remember as a child growing up, I didn't care much for it. I thought it was pretty bitter, and I never liked it, but as I've gotten older, I've got acquired taste, and I really like it now, so... And it's such a good thing for you. It's got so much protein, and it's so healthy in so many ways.
How did you first learn how to make acorns?
Well, actually, it was a professor from Oregon State. I had a basket that I had just finished, and she said, well, we have to cook in it. And I said, I've never done this before. She's like, oh, you can do it. So she sit there. She showed me how to, told me how to do it as I was doing it. And we did it in front of a class. And it was a little nerve bending for me because I hadn't done it before, but she made me look like I'd done it my whole life. Uh-huh. And it went really well, and I really enjoyed it, and I've been doing it ever since.
Do you go out and gather your own acorns?
I do.
And where do you go to do that?
I do here. We have a few acorn trees around the property here, and I get some here. But when I go get pine nuts, I like to go over towards 299 towards Redding. They have the white oak over there, and I prefer them because they don't have as many tannins in them, and they're also more meaty and bigger nuts, so you get a lot more out of them. And so it's not so hard to leach, you know, so I like those best.
So when you go out to pick, what sort of a container do you bring to gather them in, and how much acorn do you gather at one time when you make a trip?
I usually bring a burden basket or something that I can just fill up and try to find spots that it's easy to get to because I can't climb the mountains like I used to. So a lot of times it's in the ditches along the roads because the acorns are up on the side of the hill and they just roll down. So they're just full.
Oh,
all
that's
the way down
pretty
this.
Handy.
So it's
yeah.
Handy. Yeah.
Is it something that you taught your children to do?
No. Uh-huh. My children aren't really interested, so uh-huh. Hopefully they will get there. I'm hoping my grandchildren will. So.
And you've taught other people about how to make acorns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had a few people have helped do it.
What are you looking for when you're finding the acorns? I imagine when you pick them up, they weigh differently depending on how healthy they are.
Well, they do, but your main thing is to find out that there's no bug holes in them. Because if you have a tendency to put them away with bug holes, those bugs continue to keep eating the good ones that are in there. You can see, like, if you have them in, I put them in a big basket by the wood stove, and you'll see all these little white worms that crawl out that were the buggy ones. So if you're not careful, they can ruin what you do have. And that's something you try to explain to the kids and stuff when they're picking them up is make sure you're not picking up buggy ones.
Uh-huh.
Because then I still have to go back through them afterwards.
Uh-huh. So. And then you need to dry them before you even crack them open.
I do. I try to let mine sit for a year or at least just because, you have that red skin on the outside when they're fresh and that has a lot of tannins in it. So by letting it sit, it has a tendency to dry, so when you crack them open, you can just rub them together in your hands and it comes off.
Uh-huh. So when you go to dry them on your wood stove, do you have to turn them to make sure that they all get evenly dried?
I do. Yeah. I have a big, round, flat basket that's kind of deep, and I put them in that, and so I just, every so often, I go in there and run my hands through them and roll them around, and then sometimes you're going to find some that have bug holes too that way. So, it doesn't matter how good you look, there's always going to be some you're going to miss here and there. So every time you go and turn them, you'll end up finding one or two. So I pull them out whenever I'm doing that.
When you go to gather acorns, do you find that some years are big acorn years and some years not so much?
Yes, there's some years there's hardly any, and then there's some where there's a lot. It's like my nanny used to always say, it's going to be a bad year when you have a lot, because she always says that nature takes care of the animals. So there's more acorns when there's not going to be such a good year, she would say, whether that's true or not, but that's what she would tell me.
I like to think of that happening like that. Mm-hmm. When your acorns are finally dry and then you go to crack them, what do you use to crack them?
The best thing is a can because it hits just right on it and you can crack them good without really shattering them. If you use a hammer or something like or a rock or something, it has a tendency to smash the nut more. You know, in the old days they used a stone, but I like to use a can.
Do you hit what I consider the top part or the pointy part? That's what I think of as the bottom of the acorn.
The top part. Yeah, I hit it right at the top. Right, so because usually it'll crack right at that point, so it's easier to come apart.
And then you rub that little skin off of it. What's the next step in the process?
It depends on time, you know, what my time is like at the moment. Because if I don't have much time, then I just put the meat that I've already shelled out, I put it in plastic bags and I put it in the freezer. But if I have the time, then I grind it down so that I can just put the meal in there, then I'm ready to go whenever I need to cook. Then it's already done and then I can leach it from that point.
Okay. So when you grind it, what do you grind it with?
My Vitamix.
Of course. I love that because I thought a Vitamix would be the perfect machine to grind it with.
It works really well. Yeah. I mean, you can do it, you know, the old way with your mortar and pestle. It just takes a long time and these days don't have a lot of time. So, but if I'm teaching, I'll do it that way because they have to know how it's done. You know, you want them to know the correct way because you may not have a Vitamix, you know. So you have to pound it down and then you have a basket, a flat basket that you're tapping on the end of it and it brings all of the little particles, you know, you kind of keep it at an angle. And as you're tapping it, all the little nut parts that's not been crushed will roll off and down to the bottom. And then that will be put back into your dish to be done. And then your meal stays on the bottom.
Is the really fine stuff.
The really fine stuff does, yeah.
So acorns have a lot of oil in them. Do they not tend to bind up in the Vitamix?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, you have to every so often poke something in there to clean them out because it gets caught up underneath the blades because it does do that. On mine, I don't go like fine on my meal because I like a little nutty taste. Everybody has a different way of doing it. Some people like it really fine and not have that, but I like to chew. So I like the chewing on the little bit of nut I leave in it.
And then you're going to leach it because there are acids that are in that make it taste really bitter. Mm-hmm. And so that's a matter of running water through it. How do you do that?
I have a big open weave basket that I put some cheesecloth on and I put the acorn meal inside of that. And then I'll take a cedar bough works really good, but you can do spatula or anything you want, but you lay it on top of that meal and the water is going in and it's on top of it. And as it goes on top of it, it runs through the meal. And so as it's running through the meal, it takes out that tannins and it seeps through. And then every so often you go through and you turn the meal inside of that because it gets like a pasty. It's solid on the top. So you want to keep turning and opening that up inside so it allows the water to keep going through and take the tannins out.
Yeah, I could see how that would be because otherwise it would look on the top like it was all wet and you would think it had all leached through, but underneath it's hard for the water to penetrate. Do you wet the basket first?
I do. I wet the basket first and that way it allows it, the cheesecloth doesn't bind up on it so bad that way.
Yeah.
Because then it'll lay better in there, you know. It's the same with when you're cooking, you have to soak your basket to cook because it has to be wet because you're putting water and heat in it and you want it to swell and be watertight, so it has to be wet.
I've heard of people also rubbing acorn meal on the inside of the basket too with the water to kind of seal it.
I've never done that, but I could see where that would work. It has a tendency to do itself. If your basket's tight enough, you don't really have too much problem. You know, I've never had too much leakage in my basket, so... Okay. Because when you make them, you're doing a 3-strand on the bottom and it's out of spruce roots, which when spruce swells, then it becomes watertight because it'll swell when it gets wet.
It absorbs that water.
So it absorbs that and it becomes tight. And then what little bit of mush you have chinks in those little spots so it really doesn't leak.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long do you leach it for before you cook it?
I do about 3 days.
3 days. Yeah. This is quite a process, a step-by-step process.
Some people will do it a day. Some people will do it a couple of days. Some do it more. It just depends.
I think people have prided themselves forever on like your acorn should be really good tasting and not be bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how do you cook it when you're cooking it in one of your baskets?
Well, like I said, I soak the basket and I usually soak it for 2-3 hours beforehand so it's good and wet. I will take and put my meal inside of it and I put water and it's kind of like cream of wheat. When you're cooking cream of wheat, you know, you have your water in there and you put your meal and I have my rocks cooking in the coals. So it usually takes about 5 rocks. It's about average, 5-6 rocks. You take the rock and you drop it in there and you keep it moving because you don't want to burn your basket because the rock is really hot. You can actually see the acorns bubbling on the rocks. It's just boiling, you know, because it's so hot. And you just keep it moving and it thickens up just like cream of wheat would. And then if you need more water, then you add more water as you go along till you get the consistency you want.
Are there things you add to it when you make it and serve it?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, I try to have on hand like either smoked salmon or seaweed or deer meat's good in it. Salt and pepper, pretty much you can put anything in it you want.
I know that you also go out and you teach people how this is done. Why is that important to you?
Well, it's important because we need to know. There's so few of us that do it. You know, it needs to be taught more because when we're gone, we're gone. It's our old food. It's what we used to eat. So it's important. We need that in our diet.
Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Lena Hurd in her home in beautiful Cave Junction, Oregon. Thank you so much, Lena.
You're welcome. Glad to have you.
This program was supported in part by the Northwest California Tribal Communities Extension Program, a USDA-funded project through the University of California Cooperative Extension of Humboldt and Del Norte counties.